will be a 46-yard field goal try by Connor Barth. Snap, hold, not even close.
Wow.
Holy Moses.
Wow.
You can just tell those announcers were so done with the Bears at that point. Not even close. It's time for the Monday Evening Quarterback. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, and our guy Adam Hoge joins us. Adam, of course, WGN Radio's Bears beat reporter. You can find out all of his great stuff at WGNradio.com/Bears, including his podcast. I got to say, the Bears lose 27-24. We just heard the clip of the missed field goal, and Connor Barth was waived after the game. Adam, good to talk to you. And I asked the question, you know, just I asked Martyr in the news, is it better radio to talk to grouse about the Bears losing or to rejoice them winning?
Unfortunately, we're kind of at that point. That was a great call from Tom Brenneman.
Yeah.
I mean, he just like perfectly summed up the feelings of the Chicago Bears fans, right, in two words. Holy Moses. Because I don't think anyone really had any faith that Connor Barth was going to make the kick anyway, and then it wasn't even close. And it's an interesting thing because the games are all national. They're not across the whole country, but the way that the NFL does these games is different broadcasters every week. It's not like other sports where teams have their home announcers.
Right.
But you know, Tom Brenneman and Chris Spielman did the game last week, too. So they had back-to-back weeks with the Bears. Now, I don't get to hear what they're saying live during the game because I'm at the game. But when I go back and I watch the tape, I hear most of it. And I thought that those two, it was almost like they had become the Bears announcers because they were playing everything off of last week's game. I thought Chris Spielman's analysis was great. You could tell like he was accurately comparing what Trubisky did this week compared to last week and some of the steps he was taking and some of the mistakes and fundamental mechanical things that were going wrong for him too. And then just the feeling at the end with the missed kick. Tom Brenneman summed it up perfectly.
Look at us. It's Monday Evening Quarterback, and the first thing we're talking about is the announcers. I think the announcers did well. That's where we're at with the Bears right now.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, so let's talk about this game because I thought, you know, I watched it late because I was on an airplane and I came in. And I thought watching the game, I was like, well, this isn't that bad of a game. The Chicago Bears have run the ball well. They're letting Trubisky the play calling early on. At least, I mean, if they could have ended the game at halftime, even though they were losing, they were having the first quarter and a half. Everything was working right. The defense was stopping the Lions. I mean, besides a fumble, that went awry there, a fumbled snap, it seemed like the Bears were kind of in control from the get-go.
Yeah, they were, and I think we got to give Dowell Loggins credit because, you know, even if he was pressured into it or whatever, he put together a pretty good game plan, especially in the first half. And the thing that I struggle though with Justin is it's like if we had just taken everything that we talked about last Monday and made a game plan out of it, that was the game plan. And I'm not trying to like take all the credit for it. What I'm just trying to point out is how common sense and obvious the stuff
right,
was.
Right.
It shouldn't take an NFL offense coordinator to figure out what was going wrong. It didn't. It was like common sense the fans can figure out. And it's play Tariq Cohen, your best player. And the amazing thing is after we talked last Monday, John Fox and Dow Loggins met with the media during the week and they said everything that we said. Tariq Cohen commands double teams. He gets extra attention from defenses. And I'm just sitting there going, well, then play him. Put him out there and take advantage of that. And, you know, to his credit, Dow Loggins built a game plan around Tariq Cohen, playing Cohen and Jordan Howard off each other a lot. You know, a couple of those big run plays by Howard were off of fake passes. So it was Trubisky would fake a quick pass to the outside to Cohen, who was lined up in the slot,
right,
and that would freeze the linebackers or make a linebacker go over towards him, and it opened up the middle of the field for Jordan Howard to run right up the middle. I mean, this is easy stuff, but they got it out there this week, and they executed. Even though the Bears lost, you know, the offense took a step forward. Just the frustrating thing is, it's like, come on, this could have been going on weeks ago.
You know, also, and you point this out in your piece today, and it's something that I didn't think about when watching the game, but now I'm as livid reading your piece, that those playmakers that you talked about, and Tariq Cohen being one, Adam Shaheen being another, who we saw have a great first half and making plays down the seam, Gronkowski style, Even Mitch Trubisky. I mean, this concept, these rookies need to play and they need to be let to be played. All of that, including Jordan Howard, seemed to, I don't know, hit the sideline on that last drive where the Bears needed points. It seemed that Fox and Loggins did not necessarily trust those rookies, and they weren't in the game at crucial times at the end of that ballgame. I don't understand.
Yeah, Adam Shaheen, Tariq Cohen, and Jordan Howard did not play a single snap on the final drive. Now, you can say that the Bears still got in field goal range, and Connor Barth should have made the kick. Sure. But just because, I always take note of this. I mean, I don't always evaluate, or I try not to evaluate everything just off the results. You know, the Bears might win a game and play horribly. Well, that doesn't mean we ignore everything that they did horribly. You know, you have to go back to the logic behind what's being called, what's being run, and I have been watching the personnel very closely the last few weeks. So even though Trubisky managed, and I would say he pretty much did it on his own, especially considering he had that 4th-and-13 scramble.
Unbelievable, yeah.
That was a miracle after three straight plays got screwed up because no one was open, and then he took a sack. You know, I thought the personnel had something to do with that. And I'm struggling to understand. Well, I understand their explanation. I still take exception to it. And the explanation that John Fox has given us the last 2 days, and Tariq Cohen actually talked about this too after the game yesterday in the locker room, is that Cohen's not part of the two-minute drill because he doesn't know the plays in the two-minute drill. He's learning a lot of different positions, and they haven't had him learn that specific package. And a lot of people have read that like, well, why can't he pick up the plays? Does he have like a Devin Hester problem where he doesn't know the plays? I look at it more like they're just taking that off his plate because he's dealing with so much. They haven't taught it to him.
Because you said this, and you said this on this program, Tariq Cohen is being talked about by the coaching staff. He picks up the plays, a smart guy, understands the game that he's playing. So it's not that he can't understand what they're doing in the two-minute offense.
Right, you can't say that he's so intellectually sound and smart, he's picking up everything fast, and then come back and say, well, he doesn't know the two-minute package, unless it's your fault that he doesn't know the two-minute package.
He was not.
You haven't asked him to learn that.
Right.
And I have a big problem with that, because you just saw an entire game plan built around him, and it was successful because of the coverage he dictated. And Josh Sitton, who doesn't talk to the media a lot, but when he does, is really good and really thoughtful, spoke to us today at Hallis Hall, and he said he's never seen a running back that gets that much attention from defenses, that coverage that rotates his way. So again, I just get back to, that's the most crucial plays in the game, and he's not on the field. And it wasn't just him. Adam Shaheen was having a great game, not on the field. Jordan Howard, not on the field mainly because he can't catch. But I go back to that there was 1:35 on the clock when you got the ball, and you had three timeouts.
Using it as a decoy, right?
You still could have put him out there and at least given the threat of running or even handed the ball off once. You had the timeouts. You had plenty of time. So I don't like that those guys aren't in the two-minute package, and I think going forward they better be.
It's week 11. That's the part. These aren't,
yeah.
It's not that you could say they're rookies. That's fine, but it's week 11. So Adam Hoge on the line, WGN Radio, covers the Bears for us. Monday evening quarterback, 312-981-7200. Craig's on the line. I got some texts that are also coming in. We'll continue. We'll take a quick break. Stay with us.
Second down and 8. They pitch it to Cohen, and he is sniffing the end zone and leaps into the end zone, and it is a touchdown for Cohen.
Explosive. Let's get him in the game plan, coach.
There you go. That was an explosive play. Tariq Cohen and the Bears lost to the Lions yesterday. It's a Monday evening quarterback. We've got lots to talk about and a guy to talk with. Adam Hoge, of course, WGN Radio covers the Bears. Find it all at WGNradio.com/Bears. Lots still to talk about tonight. Mitchell Trubisky's on my list, and I want to talk about that. And then I also want to talk about, of course, Leonard Floyd and the injury sustained in the second, late in that game, based on Kyle Fuller bumping into him. Let's first talk Mitchell Trubisky. I have to say that we're watching a rookie quarterback. And he's learning as he goes, and it seemed like maybe after that first start on Monday Night Football, he got very conservative in the way that they weren't letting him throw the ball, 8 passes, 14 passes, whatever it might be. And now you're starting to see him, whether it's throwing on first down or getting a chance to air it out to receivers, look like the quarterback that the Bears thought they drafted.
Yeah, I think he's played pretty well over the last 2 weeks, and I had this game as his second best game, only behind that win over the Ravens in overtime last month. So, look, there were some, there were certainly some bad throws. He actually had a handful of throws that were inaccurate. Of course, the one that Cunningham right at the goal line stands out. There was, I saw some people getting on logins for the play calling in the third quarter when they had the ball at midfield, but Trubisky missed back-to-back passes high. He had guys open and didn't hit them. So I don't fault the play calling. If anything, Loggins came out throwing there, and that was almost refreshing to see. So, you know, but I also thought Trubisky bounced back from a lot of those, inaccuracies and would and fire a dart. You know, that throw to Shaheen early in the game across the middle that got him into the red zone, that was an incredible throw and a great catch by Shaheen, rookie to rookie. That's the kind of stuff you like to see. The throw to Dontrell Inman at the end of the game that set up the field goal was an incredible throw. So a lot of good things. Obviously, you can't fumble the snap. That was the worst play of the day for him. It's always hard to tell if the center is to blame for that at all, but Trubisky took the blame for it after the game, and you just can't have that. But you also saw the zone read get in there.
Yeah, we saw Mitchell Trubisky running the ball. Is that something that he we knew about coming out of college, and does he have the kind of Jay Cutler speed, the hidden speed that we should know about?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about his athleticism, and he's not necessarily a guy you want. He's not Cam Newton. You don't want him running all the time, but he has the ability to run. You saw it multiple times, whether it was on design runs or when he scrambled at the end of the game on 4th and 13. He can make people miss. One of those runs wasn't even a zone read. If you might remember the specific play, he snapped it and looked straight at the unblocked end, which by design he was unblocked. Now, I don't know if he had another option on that play, but it was basically a play that was designed to leave him one-on-one and make that guy miss. And if he made him miss, he had a big running lane, and it worked. He made the guy miss, and he took off. Now, what that does is it sets up the threat of the quarterback keeping the ball. And on Jordan Howard's touchdown run, if you watch closely, the linebackers froze because they had to make sure that Trubisky wasn't going to keep the ball. He handed it off. Howard had a lane up the middle, and he scored. So
see how it all comes together, right?
Right. So we saw both with Tariq Cohen just on the field, that threat, and then the threat of Trubisky running. These are two things that, man, we've been talking about it for weeks. Right. How do you not get it in the offense? Once they do, it makes it a lot harder to play defense against this Bears offense, and they were able to do some good things off of it.
Let's bring in Craig. Craig, you're not a Mitchell Trubisky fan, I take it.
No, because the way I see him play is like deer in the headlights. I mean, some of those plays I was watching yesterday, especially that fourth quarter drive where he did like his pirouette dance, and he made the play, but it's like desperation.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, because he was running for his life.
Yeah, really. I know. Seems like what happened to Mark Sanchez? Because it seems like the players gave up on this guy. Like they want the rookie to look bad.
Thanks, Craig.
Mark Sanchez. We'll ask you.
We'll see. All right. Thanks, Craig. Thanks for that. I don't know. I don't think that there's a chance, unless there's an injury, that Mark Sanchez sees the field. But what about that? I mean, is a team rallying behind Mitchell Trubisky? Is he a true leader for the squad?
Yeah, I think they love him. I think that that was kind of just a completely inaccurate read of the situation there. Josh Sitton, who I just mentioned, he was raving about Trubisky too today. I mean, he has earned the respect from those guys in the huddle. Sitton told a great story to the Green Bay media a couple weeks ago when he had a teleconference before the Packer game, talking about a time in practice early on where they broke the huddle. The offensive line broke the huddle too soon, and Trubisky yelled at them and said, "Hey, get back here." And there was a couple words I can't say on the radio right now that were in there as well. And Sitton said, "I love that." And right there, you know, that was a moment where they really believed in what Trubisky's saying. And Sitton talked about this today too. You can't just relay the play. A lot of it's body language. And you know, we talked about this with Jay Cutler for a long time. I thought it was actually talked about too much. But there's something to be said for going into the huddle as a quarterback with confidence.
Right.
Because when the players hear the quarterback have confidence in a play that's about to be run, they believe in it. And right now, every indication I get from guys that are bringing this stuff up voluntarily, it's not like we're asking for it. They're bringing it up voluntarily on their own and raving about Trubisky's ability to do that in the huddle. I think there's way more positives than negatives right now. And if I'm a Bears fan, I would be really excited about the future of Mitch Trubisky right now.
You know, I back to the point we made with the rookies, right? Not playing in the two-minute drill. And this kind of gets me because John Fox's philosophy, and it's one that we've seen through coaching, and OB was talking about this as well today on Roe. He was talking about the idea that, yeah, sure, they can run the ball, and they can run the ball well, but it's a passing league. It's moved on from coaches like John Fox.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing being that John Fox seems to coach to a close game. And I don't know if that's possible to do, but it doesn't seem like the Bears are out there with an aggressive edge trying to – you know, get up 21 points. They seem comfortable, and we've seen this in all of Mitchell Trubisky's starts, essentially, having the ball or close to having the ball to have the game on the line at the end. So it seems to me, why would you have personnel issues if that is your philosophy? If your philosophy is to go there, wouldn't you train up people in the two-minute warning before you train them up in – or the two-minute drill as opposed to, you know, what to do in the second quarter. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem to – they don't seem – the chemistry's off in the idea that this is how the Bears play, yet they're not getting the right people in the right place.
Well, my podcast partner, Adam Johns, has talked about this a lot this season and John Fox's influence on the offense, and there's no question he does have a significant influence on the offense. And I think what we're seeing is an old-school head coach that doesn't necessarily trust his rookies to do a whole lot, to put a whole lot on their plate. And that's a problem when your rookies are, in many cases this year, your best players. You know, they didn't want to play Trubisky until they absolutely had to. They didn't really want to give Adam Shaheen a whole lot of responsibility until they absolutely had to. And even though Tariq Cohen proved week one that he can make some dynamic plays, if you remember that last drive, which, in fairness, they did get down to the end zone and Jordan Howard dropped the ball at the end that would have beaten the Falcons. But Tariq Cohen wasn't on the field for that drive either because it was a two-minute package. So this goes back to week one. Now, you said earlier, it's week 11. How has that not been resolved, or has that not put on his plate at all? It is confusing, and I agree with you. But I think there's many, many situations here where you can question how much John Fox is, and you said, you know, talk about this passing league, and in some ways I think the league has passed him by. You know, we had those same conversations with Lovie Smith his last year.
Yeah.
And I think there's a reason why Lovie Smith's not in the NFL anymore.
That style of bend not break, keep it close, have your defense be faster than the offense, that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, things have changed. And I think back to Mitch Trubisky's first preseason game, remember all the way back in August when he looked unbelievable? Now, a lot of people talk about he was going up against third stringers. That's completely fair. I would also say he had third stringers on his side of the ball. But what they didn't do in that game was really scheme. You don't really scheme in your first preseason game. You don't say, no matter what you do, make sure you hit your check downs and don't turn the ball over. In that game, they said, just go play. Let's see what we have. And he looked unbelievable. They just let him play. And in moments where they just let Trubisky go out there and play, he has looked impressive. So if this continues, if things get ugly in Philadelphia, I honestly think the Bears need to look at the last 5 weeks of the season and the last five games against winnable opponents and maybe say, hey, is John Fox holding back Mitch Trubisky's development right now? If that's the case, then maybe you think about a change before the season's even over.
Wow. Adam Hogue, WGN Radio, covers the Bears. It's a Monday evening quarterback. 312-981-7200. We'll take a break. We'll get an update on tonight's news with Rob. We'll come back, and we'll talk about the defensive side of the ball. And, of course, Leonard Floyd. Stay with us.
13-yard gain here on fourth down. And right now, not looking good. Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. Trubisky to the 42-yard line. Oh, my goodness.
Plays like that keep us excited about Bears football in a couple of years. 312-981-7200. Adam Hogue on the line. It's the Monday evening quarterback. 312-981-7200. Text, I'll get to them in just a second. It's also people on the line. Adam Hogue, of course, covers the Bears for WGN Radio. You can find it all at WGNradio.com/Bears and, of course, all over the radio as well. All right, so let's talk about the defensive side of the ball. A game in which, I mean, if you look at the stats, not that bad in the sense that they didn't give up too many points to an offense that can put up a lot of points. kept, I mean, what, under 70 yards rushing. The Bears defense did well, but once again, and we talked about this the week before, when they needed to stop, they didn't get it.
Yeah, that's true, and it's been a few games now where that's happened. But, you know, I thought that they made good halftime adjustments. The second quarter was really the worst quarter defensively. Matthew Stafford just looked unbelievable, carving up the Bears' secondary. Vic Fangio maybe panicked a little bit with Kyle Fuller's tackling issues, took him out, put Marcus Cooper in. That was a disaster.
Yeah, right.
Then one point actually had Amukamara out of the game too, and that ended there. And they stuck with Amukamara and Fuller in the second half, and that helped. Because, man, Marcus Cooper.
What happened?
He looked like
him?
A guy who hadn't played in a long time.
773 is the same question. Marcus Cooper is somebody who at the beginning of the year, we were talking about a good free agent acquisition. This is a guy who's going to hold that corner down. We were thinking he might even have Kyle Fuller be cut in training camp. But he got hurt a little bit. He obviously made zero fans with his run back of the field goal, the blocked field goal against Pittsburgh and not finishing. But he's not looked like a good cornerback. And yesterday he was exposed. I mean, it looked like every single time there was a wide open guy, Marcus Cooper, number 31, was not too far behind.
Well, the reason he got bumped out had more to do with injury than anything else. And Fuller started playing well. So that opened up opportunity up for Fuller, and he took advantage of it. But Cooper wasn't playing great. Yesterday, he gets back in there and just looked terrible. So I think is getting added to a long list of free agency signings from this offseason that were just – they don't look that good. Amukamara is the one that looks pretty good. But, I mean, if you just think about what you're getting out of Mike Glennon, disaster, Marcus Wheaton doing absolutely nothing, Marcus Cooper doesn't look good. Deion Sims has been fine, but nothing, you know, too amazing. And now he has this mysterious illness, so he's not even out there. I mean, it is just not really a good free agency class for the Bears. I don't know how much that really ends up mattering. This league, you build through the draft, and as long as Ryan Pace is drafting well, he can get away with some of these misses, as long as he also gets hits like Danny Trevathan and Akeem Hicks, who have really worked out.
Right.
But, Cooper just doesn't look good. But to get back to your question about the defense, so they made adjustments. Second half played a lot better, but you're right. They weren't able to get that fourth quarter stop. And honestly, that holding penalty on T.J. Lang ended up stalling that drive, and Prater picked him up with that field goal. But that one could have been a lot worse, although give Akeem Hicks credit. He was playing hurt at that point in the fourth quarter, and he is still playing at such a powerful high level that he just overpowered TJ Lang on that play and drew the hold. It ended up being a crucial play in that game, giving the Bears a chance to tie. Unfortunately, they just couldn't take advantage of it.
Well, let's talk about the injuries. Akeem Hicks came out for a little bit, but we got to talk about Leonard Floyd. Just the kind of thing that you see every single week in the NFL now, where a knee goes the wrong way. The cart comes out on the field. We assume the worst. Today, Coach John Fox at least mentions that they don't think it's an ACL. I don't know how much we even trust the John Fox press conference for actual information at this point. But Leonard Floyd out for the season, but it could have been worse.
Well, for those scoring at home, it took four questions, an original question and three follow-ups for John Fox to even – and finally admit that it wasn't a torn ACL. He was really trying as hard as he could not to say that, but he did it. But it still sounds like a significant knee injury, because he also mentioned the fact that there's a couple different doctors involved. It sounds like Leonard Floyd's going to get a second opinion. So just because the ACL is intact doesn't mean that there's not other significant damage in there. Obviously, the ACL is the big one, and at a minimum, you're hopeful that this doesn't disrupt Leonard Floyd's offseason too much. You suffer an ACL here, and you're talking about lucky to be back for training camp, right? And hopefully you're able to go by week one next year. So if they can at least avoid that, it could be something as little as just the MCL, and maybe he plays again this season. I don't know, but there's six games left. Even if Floyd misses the rest of the season, though, this is a big it's good news, because at this point, the playoffs are out of the picture this year. This season's pretty much over, and you were just worried about 2018 at that point with a catastrophic-type knee injury, and it doesn't sound like it's that. So that was good news today. Now the question is, what do the Bears do from here without Leonard Floyd? And
yeah, right.
They're running out of options here. You know, who would have thought Pernell McPhee is the one outside linebacker that lasted this
long? Can I ask a question, though, Adam? And I think all Bears fans want to know this because we talked about this last year. There were so many injuries and so many key players on the Bears. I mean, is that just the NFL today? I mean, are the New England Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles, are they all having the same issues where they're on their third outside linebacker and their second safety and their fourth offensive guard? Like, is it an anomaly for us, or is it just the way the NFL is now?
Well, it seems like it's hurt this team a lot more over the course of three consecutive seasons. Really bad last year, still pretty bad this year. You know, it's hitting most teams hard. Maybe the Bears are still on the more extreme end of this, but there's plenty of other teams going through this too. You know, if you've actually taken the list of players who are out this year for the season, it's an all-pro team. I mean, it is Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt-type players right. all across the board. You know, most of the Seattle
Richard Sherman,
secondary
yeah, right.
is out. It's crazy. It's crazy. So it's an epidemic. Now, I'll say in this case with Leonard Floyd, I don't think Kyle Fuller did anything wrong. But I do think it's somewhat of a byproduct of, with all this emphasis on head injuries, you're seeing a lot more players flying in low. Right, and you come in a little bit out of control, and that can lead to more injuries, whether to yourself or to a teammate or an opponent. It just
We've
seems like
that,
it's
you know
happening.
I've picked that up, Adam. I picked up the Kyle Fuller tackle when he comes in like a torpedo, and he's been doing it the last couple of weeks, and he's had success on it. Where he's had some open field tackles where you're like, whoa, he put a wallop on a running back or a receiver out there, but he does do that. He comes in barreling, and you saw in this case he missed his guy, and he hit Leonard Floyd.
And he's missed an earlier tackle in the game, too, because when you come in kind of that fast and out of control, you're going to miss sometimes. But he's also not a huge guy. So, you know, breaking down an opponent on a tackle isn't always his best option because it leaves him open to a stiff arm or something like that when he's trying to tackle a bigger player. So I get it. And then you're also worried about the head injuries and flying in with your head and hitting another guy helmet to helmet. It's a problem, not just in the NFL, but in college football with all these targeting calls we see every week, too.
Right.
And I've seen plenty of them with Northwestern this year. I think the Cats are up to 5 on the season. So, it's just happening in football. It's the game these days and how it has changed.
All right, so let's talk about what they do. I mean, is Sam Acho now a starting outside linebacker? Obviously, Nick Kukowski and Kristen Jones are in the middle. I mean, is Trevathan coming back this season? Is he out for good? Like, there's so many questions about the front seven, especially the linebacking crew for this team.
Yeah, because, I mean, with Pernell McPhee, you kind of know he's not going to give you a full game. He tends to show up a little bit more in the second half. I don't know if that's by design or you know, just the way he's at in his career right now, but it's good because he tends to be making plays in the third and fourth quarter, not so much in the first half. But you're running out of bodies here, where you know Isaiah Irving's a young undrafted rookie who's going to be playing more. But here's probably the most significant possible development: if Danny Trevathan can come back, Nick Kwiatkowski's playing at a high level right now. He needs to stay on the field. So then the question is, what do you do with Kristen Jones? Mm. Well, Kristen Jones has moved from inside and outside linebacker
right.
a few times. So I would suggest, and maybe even you do that even if Trevathan's not ready for next week, because you do have John Timu who plays and plays okay. So I think that's something the Bears may consider because they're running out of bodies. Sam Acho is just not a pass rusher. He's a solid, strong side linebacker who's good against the run, but he's not really going to pile up sacks. I'm not sure Isaiah Irving and Kristen Jones are going to do that either. But like I said, you're running out of bodies, and I just don't know what else the Bears are going to do. Missing Floyd it kills you. He's been playing much better than his numbers show. And again, it's just fortunate that this doesn't sound like it's a catastrophic knee injury.
Adam Hogue, WGN Radio. It covers us both the Bears for the radio, but also for the site. You can find it at WGNradio.com/Bears. Talking the future of the team. I'm fascinated at the 3-7, which it made me even tonight before we talked go and find out what their record was at this point last year. They were 2-8.
Yeah.
One game improvement. Of course, the rookie quarterback may have something to do with that in development. But is this team, and I ask you this every week, but to be only one game better at 3-7 and essentially out of the playoffs, that's not good enough for Chicago Bears fans. I mean, is this how can we be okay with a team that went from 3-13 to 3-7 and there isn't this significant improvement?
You can't be okay with it, and I don't blame fans who are frustrated. It's got to be frustrating when you see. Here's the thing that I think has bothered me the most this year, just covering this team. I said this last week a little bit too. The excuses about not having the talent, to me, are just going out the window more and more every week. I mean, just look at what we talked about earlier this hour with the play of Tariq Cohen, who's a rookie, the play of Mitch Trubisky, who's a rookie, mm-hmm. the play of Adam Shaheen, who I think is not getting enough attention right now. He not only is getting involved in the passing game and should probably be getting even more opportunities, but he's also blocking very well, and that was the question about him. He had a great game yesterday blocking in the run game. He needs to be your number one tight end right now. I don't care what's going on with Deion Sims' illness. I don't care if Daniel Brown can be out there. Adam Shaheen is this up-and-coming rookie. He needs to play, and it's like John Fox has a problem playing these rookies. I don't know how else to explain it because there's no reason why they shouldn't be out there. So if you're a fan out there, I understand the frustration. And it's mind-boggling because you have a pretty good defense, and at this point they're getting banged up to the point where it's like you feel like you wasted the season. Right? The defense was playing lights out a few weeks ago. Now they're still holding their own, and despite all the injuries, and Akeem Hicks is out there banged up, and he's playing through all of it. Kyle Long on the other side of the ball has got 7 different injuries. Mm-hmm. Every limb in his body's hurt, and he's playing through it. And they're still finding ways to lose the game at the end, and a lot of it appears to be on the coaching staff.
Personnel, so, choices, when to challenge, when not.
Not letting these rookies play. Not letting They're your best players. Let them go. Let them go. I don't know. I've been covering this team for 7 years, and for the 7th straight season, I will not be covering a playoff game this year.
It's demoralizing.
That's sad.
It is sad, and it's demoralizing because, you know, we've been taught as Bears fans from the ownership, but also from the coaches, especially the strong ones we've had, that the key to winning. I mean, I'll always love what Lovie Smith came in and says. We will beat the Packers. We will mm-hmm. win our division. Those are the games that matter to us. That's almost football 101. And here we are with John Fox, where you're losing at home to the Detroit Lions. You're losing at home to was that the home game against Minnesota? They're losing at home mm-hmm. last week to Green Bay. They're 0-4 in the NFC North. And to act as if this is the best division of football is a joke. They're not the best football. Detroit is not that great. Green Bay has a backup quarterback that got blanked by the Ravens, who we beat. And mm-hmm. yes, the Minnesota Vikings are having an okay year. They're going to be a playoff team that gets beat in the first round, as they always do. It blows my mind that we're even having. I mean, I would think that you'd want a general manager or an owner or a McCaskey in his fur coat or somebody to rock out and be like, it is unacceptable to be 0-4 in the NFC North come November. It's just unacceptable.
Well, George McCaskey's hanging out in the South lot with all the fans who are happy, according to him. Remember that at the end of last season
when he said that?
Yeah, sure they are. 10,000 no-shows yesterday, by the way, which is alarming. Hey, John Fox was 3-13 against the NFC North. 3-13, that's
How
a full
that?
Season.
No, all right, he's gone.
That's a that alone is a fireable offense. I go back. You know, a lot of people told me that I put too much stock in last week's game against the Packers.
No,
but you saw the start. Had they gone up 10-0 like they did yesterday, if they had gone up 10-0 on the Packers, they would have won that game easily.
Yeah, Hundley's not bringing them back. Because
Hundley's not coming back, and you saw the real Brett Hundley yesterday. They lose 23-0 to a team the Bears beat earlier this season, and now the Packers are 13.5-point underdog next week against another team you beat earlier this year, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So these are teams the Bears have already beaten, and the Packers are that big of, you know, getting shut out and then a huge underdog next week, and that's the team that came into Soldier Field, your biggest rival, and you played awful against them. And I said it last week, we talked about it, John Fox completely flopped in that game. At this point, between that and the divisional record and the things we're still talking about, I don't see how he keeps his job at the end of the year.
Yeah, he can't. And I think about it.
Exactly.
I don't even know what to say, because then I ask about the GM, because, and I was just looking at this, and I've got it close, but I'm not sure if I got the numbers right. But, you know, the time between Wanstead and Jerron, there was a time there when we got real bad. I mean, we're talking Curtis Conway bad, where it was 19, maybe after the playoffs in 96 or 97, and we didn't see another playoff game till maybe 02 or 01 when they had that Jerron year. And then Lovie Smith had a couple of, you know, sporadic playoff appearances. But, I mean, to say we have not been in a playoff game since 2011, right? To say we're coming up on seven seasons here, six seasons. And it's the longest drought in modern Bears history. And I know as a fan, I don't want to rebuild again. We got John Fox to rebuild off of Trestman. I don't want to go through another 3-4-12 seasons, 3-13. I don't want to do that anymore. But the writing is on the wall. I mean, we are in a very, very terrible era for Chicago Bears football.
There's no question about it. It's just been a tough run, and I think comparing it to the late 90s is completely fair because that was, you know, the most recent time period where it got this ugly. I will say that the thing that's separating the Bears from, say, the Browns, and you can argue that those are the two worst franchises in the NFL right now, is I still look at this young talent that has been brought in under Ryan Pace and say that there's something to build on. I don't think you need to rebuild completely. I don't think you need to get rid of him and shut it all down and start from scratch. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think they just need to find a better coach to coach up this young talent that they have, specifically Mitch Trubisky. That's the number one priority.
Right.
But it's not like Ryan Pace is without blame. I brought up the free agency signings. They're not good this year. The draft was good. The draft was really good, it looks like, and that's what you build off of. But, you know, there's more misses than hits in free agency right now, even though the hits seem to be pretty good. And he deserves some of the blame for Connor Barth. And if I'm a player and I look at what happened yesterday and you played that much better and you got things going offensively and it came down to a kicker that they've known all year is not good. They paid Roberto Aguayo almost half a million dollars to be there for 3 weeks in training camp and say bye-bye because they knew Connor Barth wasn't good. And he's still on the team in week 11 and misses a kick. That is unacceptable. Unacceptable. And a lot of that was on John Fox. John Fox was the one that wanted to make the change from Robbie Gould to Connor Barth after Gould missed a couple of kicks the year before and cost him a game or two. But you're still the GM, and you're in charge of the roster at the end of the day. And even if you were okay with Fox saying, all right, let's go get Barth, and you made that move, that was a long time ago. You should have found another solution in this offseason, and you didn't. And it cost you a huge game yesterday.
Especially if your philosophy is to win at the end. I mean, if you're going to play close games and you're going to be close, don't you need a really kick-ass special teams?
It just seems you got to have a good kicker.
And a good kicker and a good punter and a good cover team and a good kick returner. We have seen all of that devalued in this team with Ryan Pace and John Fox. I mean, I think it was last year that they just had guys back there to fair catch. I mean, it's funny to see Dave Taub coach, and I didn't even recognize that he's coaching the Kansas City Chiefs special teams.
Yeah,
and you watch the Chiefs, and it's like, bam, there they go, Devin Hester style. Well, they're great. Where you're like, oh my god, these guys. And I just wonder if this is just the way that this coach and this GM, they just don't value it in a way that it's been valued before in this town.
Yeah, but I will say I do think that Ryan Pace has a lot of things in the right direction here. This is completely different than Phil Emery. And how bad it got in year number three. Just think about that, because both of these GMs, it's third 3 years, okay? Just look at how much different things are with Ryan Pace in year three than they were with Phil Emery. Now, you can actually say that Phil Emery won more games, but you got to look at the roster construction and really look at how bad they were. That was a roster to go in the wrong direction. This, I think, is a roster that's ascending, and that's at least a good sign.
Well, Adam, this went south. You know, I got... I feel like I got more depressed than I wanted to in this conversation. But, you know, big game to at least see. I you know, the Bears have had only two really poor games, one against the Packers early on and one against Tampa, which is an anomaly at this point. But those were both Mike Glennon games. Let's see if Mitchell Trubisky can hang with a team that is one of the elite, if not the best, in the NFC.
Here's the funny thing. I mean, this is a 12-point line. We knew it was going to be high when you think about how good the Eagles are and the Bears are coming off on a three-game losing streak now. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears play the Eagles close. Yeah. They've done this all season. The defense is still pretty good. losing Floyd's going to hurt, but Trubisky has shown he's not going to turn the ball over a whole lot, and that's going to keep them in game. So I don't think they win. I don't think they really – I'm not even sure they'll have a chance to miss a field goal at the end. I don't know if it's that close, but I would be surprised if they get blown out by the Eagles on Sunday. I think they'll be in the game, you know, for a good portion of it. And not to be too depressing, but let me just leave you with this thought. Many people don't even know that Mark Trestman is now coaching the Toronto Argonauts in the Canadian Football League. He has advanced to the Grey Cup, which is the equivalent of the Super Bowl. He will be playing for that on Sunday afternoon. So if you get a chance after the Bears lose to the Eagles, you'll have the opportunity to turn on the Grey Cup and watch Mark Trestman potentially win the CFL.
Well, we'll do it at Martyr's house. How about that? Adam Hogue, WGN Radio. He covers the Bears for us here, and you can find out all his great stuff, his writings, and also his podcasts at WGNRadio.com/Bears. And joins us every Monday for the Monday Evening Quarterback. Adam, thanks for joining us, bud.
Thanks, Justin.